The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So we continue tonight with our study of the Tibetan Lojong teachings, as they are, and the 59 slogans that go with them, as they are interpreted to us as Zen students through Norm Fisher, who is a Zen teacher in the San Francisco Zen Center tradition. And I had encountered some of these before, but really I'd never gone through the whole list until I got Norman Fisher's book in preparation for this retreat not that long ago. And the first thing I did was eagerly turn to the 7 points and 59 slogans. And I often learn in my appreciation of Buddhist teachings from my mistakes. And so here was my mistake. So I looked at it and I said, oh my God, somebody really screwed up. It goes point one, point two, point two, point three. What? Where was the copy editor? You know, I got the wrong copy of this book. And as Melissa explained today, no, there have to be 2.2s. Because the first point two is train in empathy and compassion, absolute compassion. And point two, I almost said point three, is train in empathy and compassion, relative compassion. And so why are they both point two? Because absolute compassion and relative compassion are the two sides of the hand. They are not separate from one another, but we look at compassion from two different sides. So, okay, I got past that. But then I thought, well, you know, this is kind of odd that you would start with absolute compassion and then go to relative compassion, because wouldn't it be easier to start with the small relative stuff and then move up to the absolute? And Melissa talked about that some today, and I will follow up. And I want to say that in addition to the reasons Melissa gave, I think it could be quite dangerous if we leapt into the points on relative compassion without first immersing ourselves in the pursuit of absolute compassion. Because here's the problem with going right to relative compassion, especially when we come to encounter practices like Tonglen. The problem would be if we begin exercising compassion towards others, thinking that there really is something called others, and that there really is something called a self. And the problem might be that we would aggrandize the self. We would solidify our sense of self as we exert compassion towards, oh, those others that are not me, that are over there, that are distant. And at very worst, we might even feel a kind of pity, which is not just a distancing emotion, but a hierarchical one. You only pity those that you consider beneath you. The great romantic poet William Blake says, pity would be no more if we did not make somebody poor. But we go farther, and we say, you know, really, there is no one to feel pity for, and no one to feel pity. And so we start with that. We start with absolute compassion, and we train in absolute bodhicitta, the awakening heart-mind, as Melissa told us today. So then we look at the first of the slogans for absolute compassion, and here's what we see. Here's my third stumbling block. See everything as a dream. Now, this is a slogan I'd encountered before in the writings of Pema Chodron, and I actually used it as a slogan for years without knowing its context. It's sometimes translated, see all dharmas as dreams, or regard all dharmas as dreams. And the way I remembered it was just, all dharmas are dreams. And this is a wonderful slogan to work with. And as so much in these Lojong teachings, this is not news to us in Zen. And in fact, we recite the closing gatha from the Diamond Sutra frequently. We used to chant it together all the time at Sesshins here. And this is the Buddha speaking to Subhuti. And here's a classic translation that we have in our sutra book. So you should view this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a flickering lamp, a phantom, and a dream. So this is the Buddha saying, regard all dharmas as dreams. That's a catchy translation. Here's a more accurate one by the great translator and Zen practitioner Red Pine. As a lamp, a cataract, a star in space, an illusion, a dewdrop, a bubble, a dream, a cloud, a flash of lightning, view all created things like this. So, so we know about all dharmas being dreams. But how does this open to compassion? This becomes an interesting question too. So we regard all dharmas as dreams, and you might worry, especially I worry, coming from the Western traditions that in philosophy that I studied before I really studied Buddhism, is this just the old I'm the dreamer and they are the dream? Does this just aggrandize the ego in a new way? Is this a kind of Cartesian, well, I'm the only conscious subject I know? But that, no, that doesn't happen in Buddhism because it begins with that same split between self and others that we are trying to get past in Buddhism. And in Buddhism, it's not that you're inside looking out at all dharmas and they're all dreams. Insight is a dream too. And so when we regard all dharmas as dreams, very important that we not leave the self out of this. We too are made of dreams. So we say all dharmas are dreams because seeing things as we do through our categories and our delusions, some of which are just built into being human, of course things aren't what they appear to us. Of course we know that. But in the Buddhist tradition, this is also true of the inner world, and it's true of our own bodies. We think that we have these whole integral bodies separate from the environment. Not at all. Those two are empty, just as all created things are empty in the Diamond Sutra. And so we say when we recite the Heart Sutra, no eye, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. This is another way of saying, yeah, these two are dreams. We go inside the mind, what we think of as inside. No sensation, no perception, no mental reaction, no consciousness. We break everything down into seeing it in its true emptiness, and then it starts to come back together in a way that has gone beyond the division between self and others. How does that happen, right? What happens is that all of these things that started out as separate and that we thought were enclosed and self-contained, including us, when we began to see them in the light of emptiness, when we began to see them as the dreams that they are, they suddenly all became radiant jewels in Indra's net. No separation, no autonomy, nothing singular, nothing separate, including us. And the radiance of each of the jewels in Indra's net is the reflection of all the other jewels of which its radiance is composed, and all the other jewels are reflecting that radiance. And this sense of Indra's net, which is what all dharmas are dreams, leads me to, and which I am urging you to let it lead you to, is captured beautifully in the Bodhisattva's vow that we just read together. So let me take us back. When I look deeply into the real form of the universe And this looking into the real form of the universe, I'm suggesting the Lojong teachings are telling us, begins with all dharmas are dreams. Regard everything as a dream. And that leads us to appreciate the essential emptiness of them and us. This is absolute bodhicitta, essential bodhicitta. And then we look deeply into the real form of the universe, and we see that web, that net, of which we are a part as much as everything else. No way to differentiate ourselves from the rest of the web, from the rest of the net. Everything reveals the mysterious truth of the Tathagata. And this is the mysterious truth I am trying, as best as I can, to gesture towards. This truth never fails, right? No exceptions. In every moment and every place, things can't help but shine with this light. There's the radiance of the jewels in that cosmic net that stretches infinitely in all directions. And here's the part I would like to bring to your attention. The next line, realizing this, our ancestors gave reverent care to animals, birds, and all beings. Isn't that amazing? Realizing that this is the real form of the universe. Realizing that separateness is an illusion, whether we're talking about objects we think are outside or thoughts and emotions and faculties we think are inside. Realizing that this is an illusion and that the truth is that we are all part of this interrelated web. Our ancestors gave reverent care to animals, birds, and all beings because they were not separate. Because animals, birds, and all beings were not something out there. All part of one body. And this is what the Bodhisattva's vow says next. Realizing this, we ourselves know. Now we bring it home. We ourselves know that our daily food, clothing, and shelter are the warm body and beating heart of the Buddha. So that line has always moved me so much. This is another way to think of Indra's net. One body, all connected. Us as well as animals, birds, all beings, all created things. And so let me end by reading this slogan again. The first step in training in absolute compassion. See everything as a dream. And I invite you to sit with this slogan and with seeing everything as a dream and see where it leads you.